Well, get your gears in. Mash that clutch and put it in first gear because we're going to take off. Got a lot of things in my heart. I was wrestling last night on what to share. And finally, the Lord twisted me into making up my mind. So I want you to close your eyes right now and repeat after me. Holy Spirit, you came to teach me truth. I ask you to open my ears, to open my mind, and to open my heart to receive illumination that conforms me to the likeness of Jesus. I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So now that you're awake, hang on to your hats, because here we go. I want to start by going to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I do project the scriptures, but if you got a bulletin, in the back of the bulletin, there's a blank page. You need to write down some scriptures that I'm going to give you. Let's start with Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11. You've heard this before here. This is one of my favorite scriptures. One of them. One of the 120,000 of them. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 11, he says, now, at this point, Jesus was killed, buried 3 days, rose up from the dead, ministered for 40 days to different people in his resurrected state, and then he ascended up on high and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And as he was lifted up, it says here that he gave gifts unto men. Actually, to the church, but all men benefit from it. And then he says, verse 11, and he himself, that Jesus, gave some of these gifts to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. So here Jesus is saying, as I am going to sit on the right hand of the majesty of God, the Father, the right hand is always the hand of authority, the power, delegated authority. So God the Father delegated authority to Jesus. And then Jesus delegated authority to the church. To do what? To put all the enemies of Christ under his feet. And God is going to take care of that. How? Through the church. And we'll expand on that later on, but that's what the scripture is talking about here. But he says he gave five ministry gifts to the church. We call it the fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These ministry gifts are necessary for all of the church to mature. That's what we just got through saying, that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Somebody says something, you're a Christian, you're required to do this, that, and the other. Listen, you better have your foundation solidly established on the Word of God. You need to know the Word in order for you to mature. You know, it is the custom in this country that when you're 4 or 5 or 6, you go to school for at least 12 years. Because we want your foundation in your head established so that you can be a productive citizen. Well, the same thing is in the spirit. When you're born again, you better start devouring that word. You got to at least read that Bible all the way through from Genesis to Revelation at least once. Whether you understand it or not, that's fine. At least you have gone through it. It may take you a year. May take you two, but you need to do that. And then as the Spirit of God reveals, you get more excited and you want to know more. Of course, if you come here, you're going to get scripture, so you'll get to hear more of it more often. So here's these 5 ministry gifts that Jesus gave the church to mature it. To make it strong, so that we should no longer be children in the spirit, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. He says, by the trickery of men. And there's a lot of stuff out there that will just, if you don't watch it, it'll put a mindset in you that you accept anything that they dump on you. So you have to be careful. You have to know the word. But then he says, speaking the truth in love, so that we may grow up in all things like unto Jesus. It's been said a few times here this morning that we need to adopt the image of Christ. And we do. Very soon, we're going to bring different ministries to this house. We hope to bring a couple that walks in the apostolic ministry. Oh, by the way, there are apostles and there are prophets. How many of you have seen a false $3 bill? None of you? Nobody bothers to falsify a $3 bill because there's no real one. But you have probably seen falsified $1 bill. Well, probably not one. They'll go to 20 or 100 or something bigger if they're going to go through the trouble. My point here is the enemy will not falsify something that doesn't exist. He will always falsify that which is true. Jesus called unto the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Yes, there's some false out there. In fact, I know some. But the fact that there are false ones means that they are true ones. And so we cannot just get rid of the bathwater and throw the baby out. We need to be as good as cows in the field. They eat the grass and they leave the weeds alone. Need to have at least that much sense. So, we're planning to bring an apostolic ministry to minister to this house because we need them for us to grow up. We're going to bring a prophetic ministry, and I'm talking about this year. We're trying our best. A prophetic ministry. We are still looking for a good evangelist. They seem to be on the run, and we don't get a hold of them, or we don't find good ones. I mean, there's a lot of people that claim to be evangelists. So if you know of a good one, talk to me later on. Pastors, the Lord has placed my wife and I in this house, and We are called to the pastoral ministry in this house. We flow also a little bit in the teaching ministry, and my wife in the counseling and preaching and exhorting ministries. I mean, she can be a dynamite stick sometimes. But at this point, I believe that these are part of the pastoral equipment that the Lord wanted to bring to this house for such a season as this, to minister to you. So we all need to be exposed and ministered by all the fivefold ministries so that we can mature. And we don't want to mature lopsided, you know, great in one area and then sort of hanging on the other. You know, when you develop your muscles, you want both sides of your body to look good. You don't want to be lopsided. You don't want to be like Popeye. Next Sunday, God willing, I will start teaching on the authority of the believer. And so we're going to see a few things that I'm going to just briefly mention today. We're going to see them in detail later on. But based on Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18, that every believer should be flowing in these signs. Mark 16, 17, this is Jesus' words. He said, "And this sign will follow those who believe in Jesus. In my name, they will cast out demons." How many demons? Well, have you cast out demons? You see, if you truly believe, then you will act on these things that the Lord said you're supposed to act on. You will speak with new tongues. You will take up serpents. That means you have authority over the enemy, and we're going to talk about that in the latter weeks. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And that doesn't mean you drink it purposely. That was by accident. I can tell you how my wife drank a little bit of poison one time by accident, and the Lord miraculously protected her. Of course, he used my son-in-law to protect her in some areas, but the damage should have been extensive, and yet there was no damage, thank God. So that was poison that she drank, and it didn't hurt her. And then they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I hope that by this time, you have dared to believe that God can use you to lay hands on anyone sick around you, including your kids, your parents, your relatives, or a stranger that you see that needs that ministry, that you lay hands on the sick, believing that God is going to bring that promise to fruition. So these are things that if we are believers, these signs should be following us. In addition to these signs, each born-again believer is supposed to be flowing in at least one of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12. Those gifts are called the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, miracles, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. There's nine gifts that the Holy Spirit will give the believer that will equip us with at least one of these. And some people flow in many more than just one. And pretty soon, hopefully August or September, we're going to start Wednesday night teaching on these gifts. Not only teaching about them, but activating us to learn to flow in them. You know, some people say, you cannot activate something spiritual. Let me ask you, how many of you were born again when somebody led you in prayer? Somebody led me in a prayer. They activated me in the gifts of salvation. They said something, I repeated it, and as I believed it in my heart and confessed it with my mouth, it came to be. I was activated. Same thing happened with any gift or anything that God has for us. Sometimes we need a little help. In fact, most of the time we need a little help. So that's why he sent ministries to the church to mature the body. To teach us how to receive from God all that he has for us. So we have ministry gifts, the fivefold ministry. We have gifts of the Spirit. And then in First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 to 8, and a few other places, there are other spirit ministries mentioned. Some of those are ministry of health, ministry of administrations, intercessors, elders, exhorters, deacons, givers, bishops, ministry of mercy, presbyters, and probably a few more that I missed. So God has given special anointing and abilities to many people in the body of Christ. And this is intended for us to be matured, to grow up, to be the solid saints that we're supposed to be, so that we can be the ambassadors for Christ that we are called to be, every one of those. And I mention all these gifts and all these ministries because, you know, all of us like to be recognized for something. There's a desire for us to excel in an area, sometimes with good intentions, other times with wrong, selfish motive. But we all want to be doing what we're called to be and be excellent about it. We all have that desire. God has a desire. He has a calling for each one of us. And above ministry, his call for each one of us as Christians, his desire, his goal, his longing, his dream is that every one of us who are called his children would become totally conformed to the image of Christ. That is the heart of God above what you can do for him. See, above what you can do, he wants you to be. You know, we like to be doers. When it comes to being, we give that up sometimes. Oh, I just want to do this, and I do. It is more important who you are than what you do. We do all kinds of things, different skills and abilities. But you know, I really like what you do. But really, I probably like you more because of who you are. Well, God has got a plan for you. There is no greater desire that the Father has for each one of us. There is no higher calling than for us to become like Jesus. That's the calling and the dream of the Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, this is a verse that we like a lot. We sing about it. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Paul is saying in this verse of scripture that everything that happens to us, good, bad, or ugly, everything that we experience, God will take it and turn it for good. Amen. You know, we're saying in there, you know, you take what the enemy meant for evil and you turn it for good. That song came out of this scripture. But that scripture is saying that everything happened, good, bad, and evil. We say, how can that be? How can this bad thing can turn towards my good? Well, if you love God, you're called according to His purpose, He will turn it. You will have a testimony. Next scripture, verse 29, follows that one. And you know what that four is there for? That four connects the previous verse with this one. All things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to His purpose, because, or for, those that God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God's highest desire, purpose, and plan for each one of us is to become like His Son, Jesus. Not physically, we're talking spiritually, we're talking character. He knew us before He made us. And He determined then, even before making us, that those who would accept Jesus as Savior would end up looking just like Jesus in character. Well, how does that look like? Well, God gave us a good start here in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. You know, God is love. Well, God, love is described here in 1 Corinthians 13, starting with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. You know, some of you, we have to long love you. And be kind to you. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. This is attributes of love. And God is love. These are attributes of God. Attributes of Jesus. He does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. When God created man, He created him in God's image. But as you know, we cannot become gods. We cannot be omniscient, knowing everything. We cannot be omnipresent, being everywhere at once. And we will never be omnipotent. That's scary to think that we could get there. But no, we'd destroy the universe if we did that. So, what does really God mean when He said He made us in our image? Well, when we read the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, the first verse, He gives us a hint of what He meant. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the book starts like this: God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in past time to the fathers by the prophets. The prophets were the one that gave the word of the Lord in the past. But then He has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged out sin, since sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So the author of Hebrews here is saying that Jesus is the express image of his person. Now God is a spirit. We cannot relate to a supernatural being of such a magnitude as God. But he came down in the form of a man. And now we have the God-man that we can relate to. Jesus represents the fullness of the image of God in a person. And so this is the kind of likeness that God wants us to adopt. This is the highest calling that God has for each one of us. Now, what's interesting, Jesus spent 30 years being God's perfect man, growing up in wisdom and in stature and in the favor of man and God. He spent 30 years, and then he did three and a half years of God's perfect ministry. That relates to me in the fact that God will spend more time working in our character than he will spend developing our ministry. The ratio in Jesus was 10 to 1. He spent 10 times more time building Jesus up in character before he used him in ministry. And I look at my life, I'm getting close to 70, and I'm thinking, boy, this is a long time of preparation. So the last years are going to be really explosive, and I'm looking forward to that. But I have to apply myself. You know, I can just not sit and just wait for it to happen. I have to be actively engaged in it. You see examples of this preparing the man before doing the ministry through the man in Abraham, in Jacob, in Joseph. You know, Joseph went through a lot of trials before God used him for 7 years as leader in Egypt to save the chosen people. Moses spent 80 years in preparation so that God could use him 40 years with the children of Israel. Joshua, about the same. John the Baptist was prepared for a long time. He was born before Jesus, and his ministry was very short. And yet, Jesus said, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. So hang in there if you think that you have lost your chance. No. There's still more to come. And probably, like somebody would say, the best is yet to come if you hang in there. God wants to develop the character of the person before he uses them for ministry. So why is this important? Well, I'm glad you asked. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, what day is he referring to when he comes back and picks up and divides the tares from the wheat? He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? You say, wow, that's a good preacher. That's a good minister. That's a great saint of God. And yet, verse 23 says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Boy, that's a rough judgment. We say, how can that happen? It is a part of our calling to prophesy, for us to cast down demons and to do miracles. Consider Judas. Judas did all of these things when associated with the apostolic ministry that Jesus called him to. He did miracles. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. What was the difference? He used Jesus' name and authority. Jesus gave it to him. He used it. And see, Jesus will always honor his name. And Jesus will honor his authority. He will do his work. He said his word, and the word has got the power to fulfill itself. But Judas' hearts and motives were wrong. People can use the name of Jesus and his authority for their own gain and not exalt the Lord Jesus. You know, we lay hands on the sick, somebody gets healed. Oh, I'm the big guy now. Bring it on, devil, you know. And then that day later, we're in bed, sick, because of our pride. This is why Jesus say that some that did wonders, miracles, and signs, he will tell them, depart from me, I never knew you. Now this was Jesus saying that. Paul said it quite a little different. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we read part of a while ago, 1 Corinthians 13, Paul starts saying, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. I can be very eloquent in giving a message in tongues, but if there's no love in my heart, I'm just making noise. That's what Paul is saying here. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Those are strong words. You know, we're all striving to be used of God for great signs and miracles and things that people consider great, and even the word consider for us to do. He continues on, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. There are people out there, even some non-Christians, that are giving themselves for causes that are noble, that are good. But they're doing it to gain something beside the things that God intended for them to gain. They want prestige. They want recognition. They want people to notice them. And Paul says, you do that with the wrong reason, it profits you nothing. You see, God is love, and he has expressed himself, the God of love, through Jesus Christ. So not having love is not having the character of Jesus built in you, who is the image of God. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, Paul says to the Corinthians, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you know how all of us like to look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning, make sure that there's no blemishes there. And of course, some of us spend more time than others at the mirror. And that's a good thing. We don't want to be surprised by stuff that happens in your faces or whatever. But this scripture is saying we need to be looking at the mirror of the Word. The Word of God presents a mirror of God, and we have to be gauging ourselves. Is this the way God wants me to look like? So God says, I'm going to give you a personal mirror. And Jesus will be portrayed in that mirror, and you're going to find out whether you're getting closer and closer as the day go by. So God is looking for people that he can trust in every area, just as he trusted his son. In Hebrews, Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he was a son, and talking about Jesus, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, relating to the things that he suffered, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Romans 8:28 again says, all things are working together for our good. Good, bad, or indifferent. When we submit ourselves to the Lord and adopt the character of God, you know, we stop complaining, oh God, why are you not doing this or that or the other? Why are you not answering my prayer? And you're too slow, and I need this, and that's not the character of Christ that he wants to develop in you. And so we have to endure things while we are on this earth. The important thing is not what you endure, it's how you endure them. Some of us want to throw the towel and say, well, this Christianity thing doesn't work. I was fine till I got born again, and then the devil just pounces on me all the time. Well, we will address that next time. You have authority over the devil, but you have to do something. So, Jesus suffered things even though he was perfect. And those things perfected him. Perfected Christ? I mean, he was perfect to start with. Well, he matured in the things that he learned through affliction. We all go through stuff. Stuff is always happening. And God turns those things that the enemy meant to destroy us. And God wants us to adopt an attitude that, you know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He is my strength. He knows what's happening. He knows what I am capable of enduring, and he is stretching me for me to grow up in patience, in love, in joy, in peace, in all these things that we say, later, well, later, later. For now, I'm going to just let you have it. No, no, no. Just as Jesus obeyed the Father in all things, the Father wants us to trust him in all things. And that's why we suffer. It seems that we Christians only learn when we go through hard times. God does not waste any circumstance in our life. Even though he's not the author of all of them, he still uses them to build character in us. The quicker we learn it, the quicker we will become like the image of Christ. And the more we look like him, the greater the measure he will use us to establish his kingdom on earth and whatever area of influence you have. And the more abundant life you will enjoy. You know, we are eternal beings. We are going to live forever. This life is just a little blip in the radar of eternity. And yet, this little blip will determine where you will spend eternity. So it's very important, even though it's just a blip. As you know, there are only two possible places you can spend eternity. Either angels will come and pick you up at the time of your death, physical death. Either angels will come pick you up, take you to heaven. Or demons will come pick you up and take you wherever hell is located. That's the only two choices. We as Christians, we want to hear from the Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servants." I don't want to hear Jesus saying, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." That would be a sad statement, that I live all my life thinking I'm doing the right thing for me and miss what God had for me. You know, Jesus said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I believe we need to take a closer look at that word servant. But don't worry, I'm not going to do it today. Don't panic. We'll do it soon. Please stand to your feet. We're going to close. You're saying, "Hallelujah, he's closing." If you find yourself today not sure whether angels or demons are going to pick you up in the time of your death, you need to come and talk to us at the end of the service. Don't leave without talking to us if you're not sure. And many of you do not know what your calling and purpose in the body of Christ is. We mentioned quite a few positions. Know this day that you are called first and foremost to become like Jesus in character. Everything else is secondary. The miracles you do, the people you get saved, all of that is secondary. God's greatest dream is for you to become like his son in character. You're going to need the help of the Holy Spirit to do that. And you need to want to become like Jesus. It'll be a process. It'll probably take the rest of your life. But to every process, there is a point to start. And so if you're ready to commit to becoming Christ-like more and more, and you're determined to do this from this point on, at the end here, when we finish praying, I want you to come. We'll pray with you. We'll agree with you. We'll establish that. See, we need to declare these things so that they can be established in the heavenlies. Father, we just thank you. You are a good God. You're a good Father. On all the things that you allow in our lives, you turn them for good. That's the kind of God you are. Help us to realize what your call is for each one of us, your highest call. Help us to realize that your inheritance for us is that the image of your son would be implanted in each one of us. May we accept the call. And may we stay faithful to that call until we are completely conformed to the image of Jesus, his character. Holy Spirit, help us in this journey, all of us. And Lord, may we find ourselves being conformed day by day as we go along in the affairs of life. Father, thank you I give you praise. I give you honor and glory. And I bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If you need prayer, we're going to be here. God bless.